Okay, welcome to Rabbeinu B'chayi Shir Parshas Shlach. I wanted to start with a piece of Rabbeinu B'chayi concerning the Mekoshesh. Start at the end of the Sedra. In Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Again, where it describes, Pasuk says, Vayu B'nei Yisrael Bamidbar. The B'nei Yisrael were in the desert. Vayimsu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim B'yom HaShabbos. They found a man who was gathering wood on Shabbos, and again, of course, as we know, ultimately he was put to death for this violation of Shabbos. So, Rebbeinu B'chayi starts off with the following kasha: Yodua ki chol inin amiraglim ve'inin amikoshish gam ha'isakach b'midbar hoya. I mean, the whole sefer is called Bamidbar, right? So anything that's going on in sefer Bamidbar was in the midbar, was in the desert. Right, everything, the Meraglim, the Mekoshesh, Korach, that we're going to read about in next week's parasha. Umatam, she asked your Khan, Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'Midbar. What's the opening phrase? The Jewish people were in the Midbar. Hello, you know, good morning, right? Of course they were in the Midbar. They've always been in the Midbar since they left Mitzrayim. They're going to be in the Midbar till the end of the Torah. So what is added by the words, Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'Midbar? So this question prompts a whole series of answers in Rabbeinu B'chayi, each one very interesting in its own right. V'itochein lefaresh al derech habshat kihu lahatlig al godol chet hamakoshesh. One way of understanding it is that it's meant to emphasize how terrible the sin of the Mekoshesh was. How so? L'chach hutzrach lahatkir b'midbar v'lomar ki b'midbar shehoyu bo Yisrael v'hamon yori b'choyom shu min anisim ha'mefursamim Hamarim al chidush ha'olam, sham nimsa mekoshesh zeh lechalol Shabbos, v'lavo k'neged ha'chidush. Right? Says the Rabbeinu B'chayi. The pasuk wants to stress how heinous the sin of the Mekoshesh was. Why? They were b'midbar. What was going on in the midbar? The man was coming down on a daily basis. The man was the biggest proof to the existence of God and the fact that he was still involved in running the world. He didn't wind the world up like a clock and walk away from it. So you're watching the man come down every day. By the way, we know that the man has so many ties into Shabbos. You know, the idea of Lechem Mishnah, right? You're watching the man come down every day, and you still have the audacity to be Mechal Shabbos, right? So Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'Midbar, they were watching all the Nisim. V'im kol zeh. Somebody goes ahead and is Mechal Shabbos. Again, in this pshat, the Rabbeinu B'chayi seems to be assuming, not like the famous statement of Chazal that the Mekoshesh L'Shem Shamayim Niskaven, you know, there was being Mechal Shabbos in order to impress upon people the severity of being Mechal Shabbos. Right, you're right. No, so you understand that it's Slavcha, that he was doing it to impress upon people how terrible it is to be Mechal Shabbos. No, in other words, he was Mechal Shabbos, you know, period, you know, end of story. And how terrible is that in light of the fact that the Jewish people were daily witnessing the Mon coming down?
Why is that more severe than the other
Rebbe
was at the place by the Polish
Rebbe.
This is an individual.
So, right.
Major.
So I think the point that the Rebbeinu B'chayi is bringing out is follows. You could understand that they could have tainas on the Ribbono Shel Olam from other directions. I could understand it. But Shabbos, the whole Yisod of Shabbos is about acknowledging the existence of God and God's running of the world. So to be Mechalel Shabbos, in other words, they rejected Eretz Yisrael for whatever reason. Okay, I get it. Korach, there are other L'shem Shamayim. Each thing you can explain things L'shem Shamayim. Korach, you know, they thought that God had revealed himself to all of them. Kol Ha'ido Kulam Kedoshim. Okay, so they're wrong, but we can understand it, you know, but to go and be Mechal, I'm sorry?
Democracy.
Right, but to go and be Mechal Shabbos, to basically undermine the whole belief in God's, you know, ongoing involvement in the world, that's just unbelievable. You know, to imagine that they could be Mechal Shabbos in the Midbar with all of the Nisim around them, you know, it's hard to understand such a thing.
Hard to understand how they could get some foods which they don't have when they have the month coming down, more so than this very Shabbos.
On a certain level, yeah, because again, remember Chazal say they're not really complaining about the food, they're complaining about the arayas. So in other words, you know, you can believe in God, but be, you know, find his laws difficult to observe. But Shabbos of all things, that's the big Rabbi Chaim seems to be saying, Shabbos of all things should have been a no-brainer, given of the nisim that they saw around. And even more, it's even harder to understand that act of Chilul Shabbos, even more so than Karach, the Meraglim, and all these sort of things. Again, a very, very interesting way of looking at it. So that's one pshat. O Yomar, Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'amidbar, says the Rabbi Bachai's second pshat. You know why Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar? You know why they were doomed to wander there for 40 years? Don't think that it was just the Chet HaMeraglim as we normally understand. The Chet HaMeraglim, in a sense, was maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, but there were many other things that the Jews were doing that caused them to wander in the desert for 40 years. What were they? So I'll tell you. They were Mechalel Shabbos. You see the Mekoshesh. Mekoshesh is one man out of 600,000 people. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. Right? So the Jewish people are held accountable for this one act of Chilul Shabbos that's brought about by the Mekoshesh. Really? Yeah. One guy's Mechalel Shabbos and all of a sudden the rest of us are condemned? I'm assuming, I'm going to read this into Rabbi Bachai a little bit, but that Rabbi Bachai in this pshat feels that the atmosphere was such that the Mekoshesh felt comfortable being Mechal Shabbos. You know, that Klal Yisrael had somehow created an atmosphere in which it wasn't such a big deal for him to be Mechal Shabbos. Yes, he was the only one who did it before Al, but, you know, the atmosphere was such that it lent itself to that kind of thing. In fact, you know, the lashon of the Rabbi Bechaye is that there were mechalalei shabbosos, right? That there were multiple lashon rabbim, people who desecrated Shabbos. The impression that you get from Rabbi Bechaye, I'm not sure what his source is for this. Mekoshesh maybe was the most obvious example of chilul Shabbos, but maybe there were other, maybe more minor examples of chilul Shabbos as well. Right, that's what Rabbi Chai seems to be saying. So, Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, you know why they were in the Midbar? Because they were Mechal Shabbos. And they were Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. How do we know they were Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tzitzis? Because right after the Mekoshesh, she tells you the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. So, wait a minute. What does that mean? They were Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. How could they be Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tzitzis when they first got it? Right after the Maisa of the Mekoshesh. So Rabbeinu Bechaye, you see a tremendous chiddush in this pshat. Rabbeinu Bechaye apparently learns as follows. The Jews already had the mitzvah of Tzitzis well before the end of Parsha Shlach. The fact that the Parsha of Tzitzis is presented in the Torah at the end of Parsha Shlach was as a sense mussar to the Jewish people. It's not the first time that the Jews are being told about Tzitzis. The Jews already had a mitzvah of Tzitzis, but they weren't so careful about it. And because they weren't so careful about it, the Torah here in Shlach chooses to reiterate, not to introduce, but to reiterate the mitzvah of Tzitzis to give mussar to the Jewish people who are not careful about the mitzvah of Tzitzis. There is a commentary on the Haggadah, one of the Rishonim, who, when the Haggadah says that Vahi Sham Lagoy Melamed Shehayu Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham, that the Jewish people were outstanding in Egypt, they stood apart from everyone else, this commentary writes that they were begadol with tzitzis even in Mitzrayim. So in other words, there was, you know, this commentary holds apparently that the mitzvah of tzitzis certainly predates Parsha Shlach. Rabbeinu Bechaye seems to be saying something similar, that the Jewish people were mezalzel in tzitzis, which is shkula keneged kol haTorah kula, it's equal in importance to the entire Torah. They were mezalzel in Shabbos. So, you know, don't think the Chet HaMeraglim was the only thing they did wrong. There was plenty that they needed to correct.
So, you know, this is a whole kasha I always had.
Okay.
In the Parsha of Shabbos, it says that they, you know, but a month they didn't keep Shabbos. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo might get the roof. Like, well, how am I going to not keep my prayer, right? So it says, if I should keep two Shabbos, then you guys be gone.
Right.
It said, who's bothered me for 40 years? Hundreds of Shabbos, maybe how many Shabbos are out there.
Right.
They didn't keep two Shabbos.
Right.
It's all that.
Right. So I see some nice. They attack. You know, again, maybe the Mekoshesh was the most obvious example, but you know, you can do half Shabbos, you know, even in the Midbar, apparently.
The other thing is also the Rav said about that when you're showing about the what
is
this? That goes in line with my Chazal that says the Shloshim and Mabushayim,
so in other words, that. Mabushem doesn't mean that they kept the Bekishes, right, in Mitzrayim. It means that they, according to this interpretation, it means that they kept the Begadim of Tzitzis, you know, the big day Arba Kanfis in Mitzrayim.
Maybe that's why Korach, when he challenged Moshe, brought
the business of... Talz Keshet Kula Tcheles, right, and he wanted to be Mezalzel in Tzitzis, to give a lumbus why he could be Mezalzel in the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, right? So, the kids are all of this together. That second shot, Rav Bechaya says... Bamidbar, you know why they were in the Midbar? Because of their zilzul and Shabbos and their zilzul and Tzitzis. So again, the Rebbeinu Bechai is assuming yes, for sure. In other words, for sure by Sinai they had the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. Yeah, in other words, I mean that's...
Because last week we were worried about Pesach
Sheni. Yeah.
Why question arose after?
Well, let's put it this way. In other words, the rule is that a mitzvah would have been given at Sinai. Is it true that there are exceptions or things that were not fleshed out? You know, Pesach Sheni is an example of a prat within Hilchos Pesach that wasn't fleshed out entirely. Yeah, so there might have been examples, but in other words, as a general rule, something as basic as tzitzis, you know, you walk around, you put on tzitzis, that, Rabbi Bechai for sure is understanding, that was already given at Sinai. We talk in the Farshah, another pshat, ki lefi shom elamai lavam aleki vaknani yoshe bo emek, klomar la rov lachem, machar pnu su lachem hamidbar, shiachsru lachem derech yamsuf. That we know at the end of the story with the Meraglim, the Jews were told, turn around, don't go into Eretz Yisrael, you lost your chance. And when the Ma'apilim, when those Jews who try to go into Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless try to do so, they get beaten back by the enemy. Higid b'kan ha'kosuv, ki osu kidvar Hashem yisparach, v'nosu l'acharem amir bo derech yamsuf, v'teketh bo'om shom b'mitzvah Hashem yis'ale, Eira inyan hamikoshes lefichach amar vayuvnei Yisrael levaer ki hem garmu avera zav emnei shchetam shutzru lachzor lachareyem shrei avera goreres avera. What does it mean vayu bnei Yisrael bamidbar? Says Rabbi Bechaye, it means bamidbar as opposed to on the way into Eretz Yisrael. The Jews, in a sense, this is a complimentary pshat. The Jews listened to God. They didn't continue, with the exception of the Ma'apilim. They didn't continue on into Eretz Yisrael. They turned around. They went back into the Midbar, even though at that point they were already poised. You know, they were on the cusp, right? They were on the way into Eretz Yisrael. They turned around. They went back to the Midbar, and the fact that they went back to the Midbar brought about the Mekoshesh. In other words, had they gone into Eretz Yisrael at that point, so then. I guess the implication is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael would have prevented anything like the Mekoshesh from ever happening. The fact that they went back into the Midbar, back into Galus, you know, with everything that it implied, so that brought about the environment that created a Mekoshesh. And Avera Goeres Avera, you see from here, one Avera begats another Avera. You know, their failure to go into Eretz Yisrael is what created the situation of the Mekoshesh. That's the third pshat. Oh, Efshar. Lefarish, Ode, Ki hu dovek in parshas avodah zarah hasmucha lo. Another way to understand this phrase, Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'amidbar, is to relate it back to the description of avodah zarah that takes place immediately prior to that. In other words, when Klal Yisrael sins with regard to avodah zarah and the carbon that they have to bring, Ki yischila ha'parsha v'chisishku, Levar mishpat hatzibur ha'ovdim avodah zarah b'shogeh, to sign the mishpat ovid avodah zarah b'meizid, hanevash shatasa b'yad rama ikaris tikaris avar abav. It darshu chazal Bisman Shavar Ba, Kalama Shla Asa Shuva, Lachak Yiskir Vayu Bnei Yisrael, Kichain Hoy in Bnei Yisrael Ba Midbar, Ba Asosam Hoegel Shav, Lushama Vodazar Tchilasan Shogeg, Husha Omar Kuma Say Lono Elohim, Asha Yelchlo Farin Kizem Moshe Hoyish, Lubasov Mazidin Hoyu, Husha Kosov Eshtakwa Yisbuchulo, Ve'afo Pichain Nislach Lohem, Hu Omro, Solachti Kidvorecha. Right? So he says as follows. If you look in the parasha earlier where it talks about the Jews being Ovid Avodah Zarah, it first describes the Jew or the tzibur that worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, and then describes an individual who worships Avodah Zarah b'mezid. Zot Rebbeinu b'chaye, that progression is not merely in the previous parak where it talks about the halachos of a tzibur or yachid who worship Avodah Zarah. That describes how the Jewish people acted with the egel. The egel started off being an innocent mistake, and yet somehow it grew into Avodah Zarah b'mezid. That's obviously not the only interpretation of the Maisa egel, but that's his understanding. It's something that goes from shogeg to mezid. So mimela, and yet even something that goes from shogeg to mezid can be erased with tshuva. So vayiyu v'nei Yisrael v'amidbar. This idea was illustrated by the Jewish people in the Midbar, by the Cheto Egel, that even a sin that starts off b'shogeg but turns into mezid can achieve kapara through a thorough and rigorous act of tshuva. Right, so this is already not pshat. This is already al pidrush that vayiyu v'nei Yisrael v'amidbar is really the end of the parasha of Avodah Zarah, and the way you would translate it according to this pshat is, and thus was concerning the Jewish people when they were in the Midbar with the Cheto Egel. Right? Again, unconnected to the Mekoshesh, but again, it's still a beautiful pshat over here. And then he says something really quite astounding. This is our fifth pshat already in Vayuvan Yisrael Bamidbar. Odef Shalomar. Sheichlal od mashehisker hamidbar b'chet hamikoshesh lirmoz al komi shaholech bamidbar b'derech rechoka ve'eni yodeya eze yomhu shechayiv lishmaras hashabos ve'eno rashai lipater b'kach. The Rebbeinu B'chaye makes reference to a din which is in the Gemara and Shabbos and is brought in Shulchan Aruch from the very end of Hilchos Shabbos, before you get into Hilchos Erevin, Simon Shim and Dalin. Haholech Bamidbar, Eveni Yodea Mosayu Shabbos. The guy's wandering in the desert, and, you know, he's lost track of time. He doesn't have an app, you know, on his iPhone while he's in the desert. Maybe he can't get reception. I don't know. He doesn't know when Shabbos. So what should he do? I mean, you don't know which is Shabbos. Mona Shiva Yomim, Miyom Shinasan Alibo Shechachasa. So from the time that you realize that you don't quite know what's going on, count 7 days. Mekadesh Hashvi, Bekiddush Rav Dola. I'm not reading inside, I'm reading in the Shulchan Aruch. Mekadesh Hashvi, Bekiddush Rav Dola. Right? And he should arbitrarily pick a seventh day. Pick the seventh day from whenever you realize that you're out of it. And that seventh day, you're going to make Kiddush and Havdalah, and that's going to be your Shabbos. And basically, during the rest of the days, the truth is, you're supposed to minimize Malacha during those other 7 days as well. You're only supposed to do whatever Malacha is necessary for Pikuach Nefesh, to get you out of the Midbar, right? Which you're allowed to do as well on the seventh day. But, you know, every day is a suffix that it's Shabbos. But yet, there's one day which you're supposed to keep a Shabbos with Kiddush for Havdalah, and the selection of that day seems to be somewhat arbitrary. Says the Rebbeinu B'chaye, that notion of the selection of the, let's call it the pseudo Shabbos, is hinted at in this pasuk Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'amidbar. How so? So he says, first of all, why does it make sense that you should be able to arbitrarily pick a day and call it Shabbos? Right? I understand you want to be careful about not doing work, but you're not supposed to do work other than Pikuach Nefesh. You're not supposed to do Malachos Daraisa other than Pikuach Nefesh for all 7 days. So what do you gain by picking a day and making Kiddush Ravdala, other rabbi can make an argument that since Kiddush Ravdala involved brachos and Savik brachos lahakel, so then what right do you have to make Kiddush and Havdalah on a day which may not be Shabbos? Well, why does it make any sense? So how do you understand the halacha? So he says, first of all, what's the reason behind it? Al derech ha'emes, based on Kabbalah, is you should understand the fisha called achas min hashiva, he Shabbos. There's a little bit of Shabbos in every day of the week. Shabbos obviously is entirely Shabbos, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are also a shtickle Shabbos, even ordinarily. How so? Sharei b'sheshes yimei breshes kol hashiva po'alu v'shavsu. Kasher bo Shabbos u'po'alu p'ulasa ha'menucha v'hatainug oz shavsu kulon v'p'ulasa v'oz hoysa menucha l'chulon gam la'atzma. He says the following, which is interpreted by Rabbi Shevel as follows. Each of the 7 days of Maisa Breishis correspond to one of the Sefiros, right? Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, V'chule, we just counted them over the seven weeks of Sefiros HaOmer. Each day, one of those Sefiros was active in terms of creating the things that were creating on that were created on that day. But yet, to the extent to which one Sefira was active, the other 6 spheros rested. So there's an element of rest on each of the sheshes yimei breshes. So there's a shtickle Shabbos in each and every day. Right? That's what he says.
What happened
on
Shabbos?
And on Shabbos, apparently, the way he presents it, you know, none of the spheros were operative.
Even
right? In other words, or the seventh, the way I understand it, Pala Pulasa HaMenucha V'Atayinuv, the seventh sphere's activity is Menucha. Right? So in other words, it worked, but it worked to create Menucha, so I don't know if you call that working, right? But in other words, there was creation on Shabbos as well, but creation of a spiritual nature, and, you know, as such, there's a little bit of Shabbos ultimately that goes into each of the sheshes mi'amaisa.
Maybe that's why you don't have names of the days of the week.
Right. 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 So it's a beautiful idea. Usually we say Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos means the first day counting towards Shabbos, but maybe according to Rabbi Bechai it means it's the first day which has the shtickle Shabbos. This is the second day that has the shtickle Shabbos. The third day, etc., etc. Right. So he says that's why on some level you can make Kiddush and Havdalah on any day of the week, and it's not a bracha levatala. Now again, if you and I are going to make Kiddush and Havdalah arbitrarily on a Tuesday when we know that it's Tuesday, so that's wrong, because, you know, clearly Tuesday doesn't have the same degree of Shabbos as Shabbos does, right? So to make Kiddush and Havdalah on Tuesday when we know when Shabbos is doesn't make any sense. But when we don't know when Shabbos is, and we have to pick a day, the notion of making Kiddush and Havdalah on a non-Shabbos day is not crazy, says Rabbi Rebuchai, because every day is a shtickle Shabbos.
Well, this makes it even better, because when I went to Alaska, Rabbi Dov told me to make Kiddush Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's the soft Shabbos is in Alaska. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right. So that fits in with this idea. Right? So what does that have to do with us? Right? So that's an interesting pshat in the halach. What does it have to do with us in the Mekoshesh? Even though the Jews in the Midbar, certainly, they were in the Midbar, but they knew which day was Shabbos. Ramaz l'cha akosuv al kol mi shaholeich baderach ve'en yoder be'ezi yom Shabbos shehu chayiv miso in lo yishmor sa Shabbos afilu ba'amidbar. Tremendous chiddush. He says, this idea that you have to set aside a day for Shabbos, which applies in the Midbar, the day that you set aside to be Shabbos is the real Shabbos. It becomes the real Shabbos. And if you don't keep that pseudo-Shabbos, Rachmana l'Islam, the person is going to be Chayiv Misa. Just like the Mekoshesh was Chayiv Misa for breaking his Shabbos by Midbar, so too you, the traveler who gets confused and appoints an arbitrary Shabbos by Midbar, is similarly going to be Chayiv Misa for his failure to keep up that Shabbos. An amazing thing. I, I don't know that we hold that way lahalacha, but that's what he says. You know, the arbitrary Shabbos, you know, becomes labeled as Shabbos to the point where there's a chi of nisa attached to it.
So that guy's rescued somehow. They find it. It turns out that the next day is Shabbos. He's got to keep 2 days in a row.
Right. At Achinam. In other words, once he finds out which day is really Shabbos, you know, his excuses are gone, but up until that point, he keeps whatever day he thinks is Shabbos.
He doesn't treat any of the days any different than Gavim
Malach. Right, which is interesting.
No change whatsoever.
Right.
In any way except for
Kiddush and Avdol. Right. V'al derech ha-medrash, one last point. V'ayu b'nei Yisrael ba-midbar, sofcha ben chefer ha-yok, sivhacha ba-midbar, sivhasam avinu meis ba-midbar. One last point, the Medrash. Everyone knows the Medrash that the Mekoshesh was Tzlavcha. How do we know the Mekoshesh was Tzlavcha? So it's learned out from Gzeira Shava. Ovinu meis ba-midbar, vayu b'nei Yisrael ba-midbar. So according to the Medrash, he concludes, the phrase vayu b'nei Yisrael ba-midbar is necessary, not in its own right, but to tell you the Chiddush with Tzlavcha, right, that Tzlavcha is the one being referred to over here. And, you know, that's the purpose that this phrase serves. Okay, I know the hour is late, I just want to briefly share one more short Rabbeinu Bechai at the very end of the parasha where it talks about Tzitzis. It's a very long Rabbeinu Bechai, talks about the parasha of Tzitzis, that's very kedai to look at, but on your own. I'll give you one short little Rabbeinu Bechai in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Mem, Leman Tizkiru Vasisa Meskol Mitzvosa. Right, as we know from the parasha of Tzitzis, in order that you remember and do all of my mitzvahs. Darshu Chazal b'chiyum kriyas shma b'boker v'erev sarach lahat is zayin shel tizkiru. Chazal say, and we know that we carry this out to this day, you're supposed to stress the zayin of tizkiru, lema'an tizkiru. Now why do you have to stress it? V'tam bozeh, kadosh shlo tisbal bel hamila etzlenem, shlo yuvan mizeh, tiskeru besin, shuloshin schirus, lefi she'ein la'asos mitzvah, manas l'kabel pras. Right? L'man tiskeru, not that you should do the mitzvahs in order to get a reward, to get schar, but l'man tiskeru, in order that you should remember. Right? That's the Pashup Shah. The Gemara there in the second paragraph of Brachos mentions, l'hatis hazayin, in the context of all the things you're supposed to do in Kriyashma, in order to enunciate the words and the letters properly, you know, to interrupt between letters that are similar to one another, fine. But we can say another pshat. Why do we say lema'an tizkiru? Why do we stress the zayin? Shuhu kidei lirmoz al chamishachum sheitaru. The zayin in tizkiru is to refer to the chamishachum sheitaru. How does the Zayin refer to the Yishuv Chum Sheitaro? Anachlokin L'Shiva? Because as we all know, the five Chumashim are really seven Chumashim, because in last week's Pashim, Ba'aloscha, the two upside down Nuns set aside Vahim and Sa'a Ha'aron as a separate Sefer. So that's Chazal say, according to one opinion, the Gemara and Shabbos, there are really seven Svarim of the Torah. So Lema'an Tizkiru, the Zayin, which is Gematria 7, is supposed to remind you of the seven Svarim. Sharei shkula mitzvah zo keneged kol ha-Torah. Because after all, the mitzvah tzitzis, as we know full well, reminds us of the entire Torah. One more way of reminding us that tzitzis reminds us of the entire Torah is to be matiz to Zion, to emphasize the Zion, to focus on the seven books of the Torah, which are all hinted at and, you know, equal to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Well, he's supposed to stretch it.
Yeah. I'm sure he's used the head many times for Chamishis Chum Sheitaro as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How does he do that?
I don't know.
Every time he has many, you use it for five, and you have your seven, you use it for seven.
Right, so what you have to do, and I don't know the answer, but I think the beginning is of an answer to this, is to say that somehow, first of all, you have to understand what does it mean that the Torah is really seven books, right? I mean, you know, so we have a sefer that's two psukim long. I mean, what does Chazal mean by that? Once we understand what that is, that, you know, what the significance of the seven books of the Torah is, that has a particular tie in to tzitzis more so than other things. Again, I can't fill in the dots. In other words, I think if one were to build on this idea of Rabbeinu B'chayi, that's the direction you'd have to go in, to somehow show how Davka, the Indian of the Shiva Svarim, has some kind of connection to the you know, to the idea of tzitzis, you know, more so than anything else. Again, I don't know what to say beyond that, but it's an interesting pshat that he brings in any case. Yeah.
What's the difference between pras and tzar?
Yes, so the Abarbanel writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos that schar is what you deserve, pras is extra.
Like a prize.
Like a prize. I mean, we use the term in modern day Hebrew as well. A pras is a prize. So he's medayik that al menas lekabel schar is legitimate. There's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Abarbanel. If a person does mitzvos with the kavana to get olam haba, is that called shalom lishma? The Rambam writes it's called shalom lishma. The Abarbanel says no. Pras means not the reward of the mitzvos themselves, which is olam haba. That would be schar. Pras means all kinds of extras, like you would get in olam hazeh. You know that those kind of extras are illegitimate, you know, to ask for. But to ask for schar, in other words, that you be rewarded in olam haba, which is what the schar of the mitzvah is all about, he's medayik that Antigonus Yishsocho never had a problem with that. That's not what he's talking about.
Rabbeinu
B'chaye
wouldn't seem to hold that.
Rabbeinu B'chaye, right? Rabbeinu B'chaye clearly, right? Exactly. Rabbeinu B'chaye relates, you know, holds that schar and pras are interchangeable. Right, over here. Right, so I don't... Rabbeinu B'chaye, we've noted before, oftentimes goes with the Rambam in a lot of things. He disagrees with the Rambam in a lot of things, but oftentimes goes with the Rambam. So maybe here as well, this might be an indication of where he holds in terms of that machlokas between the Rambam and the Abarbanel.
And he holds that it's probably interchangeable.
Yeah, that's the Chara, which you see from over here, Lama'an Tizkiru. Alright, Shikaiach, we will pick up next week, Be'ezus Hashem. I think we are minionless, just one less of a minion, but Be'ezus Hashem will pick up same time next week.